Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we read from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them. So we share blood, flesh and blood. Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life. There are many people, who so live in fear of death that they will do almost anything to avoid it as long as they possibly can. Now, I'm not saying that we love death, not saying that. By a long shot. But it is what God allows us to go through so that we put him in the center of our lives. And it is their death because we are sinful. But Jesus destroyed the power of death forever. It cannot kill us forever. Unless we give in to the lie and say, all there is this life, there's nothing else. I'm just going to do what I want because when it's over, it's all over. But it is not. The truth, brothers and sisters, is that you will live forever. The question is where? Many of you have listened to this program for years. Say it with me. The question is where? Where am I going to live? I'm not going to drift into heaven, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to drift into heaven. I have to choose it and choose to put my thoughts, my words, and actions in line with the reality that Christ died for me so that I might live forever, and I want to follow the path he has marked out for me, not my own. He'll use your natural talents and abilities, of course, and you can make many choices as to what to do with your life in terms of occupation or profession or vocation. You have many choices to make. But ultimately, God has made us, as St. Augustine said, God has made us for himself. And our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Nothing in this world is going to make us eternally happy. You can talk to many people who have everything that this world could offer. And they'll say, in fact, I've talked to two recently who said, the only thing that makes me happy is giving away to the poor what I have. It will never make you happy because the hunger and thirst in us, which we identify as if I just had that car, I just had that job, I just had that bank account, I just had this wife or this husband, then everything would be okay. But brothers and sisters, you and I were made for God. We were made for union with God. We were. That's what we were created for. And nothing less will genuinely satisfy us. That's why so many people are frustrated in life. They poured themselves out to do this or that. And then when they get it, they think, this hasn't made me happy. Oh, it gave me momentary pleasure, but it hasn't made me happy. Because we were made for union with God. That's ultimately what our whole being desires. And I'm trying to put words on those desires in your heart. God made us for himself. And our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life. Free those. Do you fear death? Christ wants to set you free from that fear. And he wants to show you what you should fear. Sin. Do you fear sin above all? If not, the Lord has more to teach you. Let him teach you. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Christ himself was tested in this life, and he was absolutely obedient to the Father. And he had not a trace of sin on his soul, but he bore that suffering for you and for me, that the bonds of sin and the power of sin might be broken in our lives. But we've got free will. We have to choose to allow God to break the power of sin and death in our lives, and he will do it if you ask him. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. God knows your temptations. God knows your fears. God knows the injustice you've suffered or are suffering. God knows everything, brothers and sisters. Put your trust in him. People will say, well, I tried. I asked God to do this or God to do that, and God didn't do it for me, therefore God doesn't exist. That's a quantum leap, brothers and sisters. Don't make it. If God withholds the answers to our prayers many, many times, it's because we're asking for the wrong thing. Or it's because if he answered that, we would be satisfied and would not seek him further. He wants to make sure that we belong fully to him. He will bless us abundantly. But the first thing he wants to make sure of is that we belong to him, that we're his. And sometimes we have to go through suffering in order to make those choices. We do a lot of drifting in this life, brothers and sisters. We do a lot of drifting. Some days, through some circumstances, we're drawn up short, and we have to make some pretty quick decisions. And unless the foundation of our life is strong and our orientation toward God is strong, we're not going to make the right decisions, no matter what they are. But God will always redeem those who come back to him. So if you've sinned, you've fallen short, you've made your own choices, you've rebelled, come back to me, says the psalmist. Come back to me with all your heart. Come back to me. And he will lead us in the way of justice and peace. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. He does. He's made a covenant with us, brothers and sisters. He's made a covenant with us. He's given us the commandments. Follow these, and I will give you life. The commandments are not rigid rules and regulations that we have to have a checklist for. The commandments are those things which lead us. They are the pathways by which we become like him, that we come to union with the very source of love for which you and I were created. These are means to make us like him. Are we not his sons and daughters, his brothers and sisters? We're called to be like him. Take on the priorities of the Ten Commandments and watch how your life will change. It will set you free. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. Poor Jesus, he doesn't even have a moment to rest. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. And the fever left her, and she waited on them. Very simple, but profound. Profound. I, with my own eyes, have seen people healed like that. God pours out his gifts on those who trust him, on those who put their lives fully under his authority. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. must have been a challenging situation. You know what it's like when a crowd gathers and they all want to see Jesus and everybody's pushing and shoving. I can imagine. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. They knew that he was the Son of God, and he didn't let them very often. They didn't get the words out, because if you believe the words of a demon, then he will lead you. When he says something true to you, then he will lead you into lies because you've trusted him. Do you follow that? Jesus says, don't listen to the voice of demons, even when you think they're saying something that's true. Don't listen to it, because it will capture you then and lead you into a life of lies. It's true. He drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. They knew who he was. They just had other agendas, malignant agendas attached to it. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." I can imagine, if you're in charge of crowd control, what that would be like. "Everyone is looking for you." And he told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he's not interested in just crowds wanting to see him because of all the miracles he's done, though he allows that. But he wants them to follow him in order to hear the truth. And he's looking for people who will listen to the truth. He does that today, brothers and sisters. He does that today. He looks for those who open their hearts to the truth, no matter what change it might mean in your lives. If you open your heart to the truth, you just say, "Jesus, I want to follow you because you are the way, the truth, and the life. I've gone down a lot of other paths, and they promise much, but they produce nothing. Not eternally. So I want to choose you. I want to follow your path. Will you teach me?" And when we do that, the demons in our lives disappear. When we plant ourselves firmly and fully in the middle of the source of all truth, all love, all beauty, all goodness, all truth, the demons will flee. They really will. But, brothers and sisters, you can't just put your toe in the water and say, "Okay, now, if God will show me all these things, then maybe I'll be convinced." No, this is a path of faith. This word, the word of Scripture, has the power to change you. The word is living. These are not just printed words on a page, though you're reading them that way. But they come from the very heart and mind of God. These are words that, if you follow them, will lead you to eternal life. So take a look at your life. Are you following him, or are you following the ways of the world, or is it a very mixed bag? Where are you? What decision do you need to make? First, make the decision that I want to follow you with my whole heart. Then let him teach you the path to take. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.